Right, we are on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and we are at the two dots. We are at the two dots, about 12 lines in the bottom. Kol Shivas Hayamim Lo Yahayim Moinin. So Nachman, we said in the Mishnah that they would hand over to Zikni Bezdin. They would hand over the Kohen Gadol to the Zikni Bezdin, and they would read in front of him the Seder Hayom, and they would say, Kra Atav Aficha, Shem Shachachta, Shem Lamadata, like we mentioned, the Bimei Bayisheni, where some of the Kohanim Gedolim were instituted through bribery and so on. And we mentioned various animals which they were maimed in front of him, in order that he would be makiv, ragal, ba'avodah. And we said, Kol Shivas Hayom, Lo Yomanim Menem Maichla Mishta, whereas Erev Yom Kippurim, Lo Yomanim Yichayisei Lechol Harbei, because Maichla is maybe a sashena, and if he sleeps, then there's a chashash that he'll be Raya Keri. So the Gemara says, Tanya Rav Yehuda ben Nekusa Oimer, Machilin Oisei Salsei Subeitzim Kadei Lamasmasei. So they would give him food of flour and eggs. Kadei Lamasmasei. Rashi says, first white line, Machilin Oisei Erev Yom Kippurim Shachris Salsei Subeitzim Kadei Lamasmei Sachila Shibimeev L'shal Shaloi. In order to cause him to have diarrhea, shlei yitzdarech lenekavav lamachras, meaning they would feed him food, which would cause him to excuse himself, so that he would not need to do so the following day. So it was kind of some way of clearing out the system. Good. Amru leik hol shegin she'atem mevi'ei lidei chimum. If you feed him these are things which are maybe the dechimum, like the Gemara is going to say. Rashi says, the dechimum shall carry, shaslosis ubeitzim marbim es hazera. These are things which produce more zera, and therefore there's a chashash carry from those things themselves. Tanya simchoseim, emishim revi meir, ein machil and esay, loy avi, varmila, loy avavi. So, Hashem revi, they said, don't feed him aleph beiz yud, which we'll see, and some say aleph beiz yud. The Yeshem af loy yain loven, something not white wine. Layavi, what does that mean? Lay esrei, give a lay beitzim, but lay yain yosh. Don't feed him esrei beitzim or old wine. Barmi la layavi, lay esrei, give a lay beitzim, but lay basa shamein, but lay yain yosh. The Yeshem af loy yain loven, you should also shouldn't feed him, give him white wine to drink, yain love, and may the es adam lead day tuma. That is also something which brings about tuma. Tuma's carry. The concern is there are certain types of food which are maybe they carry, and lamaisa, this concept is nifsak ledin in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yom Kippur, that it speaks about certain foods which you should eat before Yom Kippur, ones which you shouldn't eat, and you should avoid, and so on. Then Rabban. Now we know with a zav, a man who has an emission, we know there's a difference between zera and the zoiv. The Mishnah speaks about the how it looks physically different and so on. And there's also differences in din. If a zav is a baal shtei re'iyos, then he needs to count shiv nekiyim, and if he has three re'iyos, he has to bring a carbon. But the Mishnayos speak about, and it comes, it's more famously known from the beginning of the Seches Kedushin, where it says, V'shiva drachem boidkines azav. We check out the zav to see whether or not he saw ba'ines, or whether or not he saw ba'rotzen, because if he saw ba'ines, then it's not maybe l'day these dinim. So we say, zav telen le b'maychol, v'chol mini maychol. So we are toiler that maybe it's food which brought about the ziva. So actually says two lines down the white lines, and the lines of toilin leba michael, and machel michael harbi, we call min shehu toilin leba shemachmas a rave michael rob. Vein is of the tumas shiva. So that is a ptur from tumas shiva, ula carbon, nechsev besaroy vele machmas einse. So this is a din in the second riyah. I mean, in the first riyah, the Gemara says in Nida that he's hukash le balkari, and just like a balkari, his bein bainus being brought in his tummy. So to the first re'iyah of a zav, is bein bainus bein baratzen. Oh, that's what Rashi says, right? Avo malkeri yitami bainus, vein keri v'zayv boyin mimokim echad, v'ein marein shavash azayv deimel meibatzik, shal sa'irin, v'ein akasha alaka leivin beitza amuzeres, shech v'zay akasha kaleivin beitza shen amuzeres. Kalkabonim, the first, when it comes to the riyah of a malkeri, it's bein bainus bein baratzen. When it comes to the second or third re'ias of a zav, then it has to be miratzen. If it was done ma'ines, then there is an exemption from the dinim. So we say we are toila on different types of food. Allah ben Pinchasayim and Mishim Rabida ben Beseira Ein Machil and Isaiah Le Chagbi Vale Gevem Vale Kol Dvarim Hamevim Le De Tuma. So what are these things? Le Chagbi Le Cholov Vale Gvina. So milky dairy foods should be avoided. Vale Beitza. And neither should he have wine. Neither should he have wine. Vale gev may grease and shall pull. So some type of grits and beans mixture in some type of a soup. Ubas shaman fatty meat, humurius and fish brine. Vale called the bar may be emily day too much. Lasuyama, what's that coming to? Be marbe. Lasuyi hard a ton rabbanon. There are five things which bring about tuma. The Elohen, Ashuma, garlic. And we know that the Gemara says in Bava Kama, in Perek Merubah, that there was Takanas Ezra to eat Shum on Friday night. Meaning, being that Friday night is his man of, the Gemara says, Asher Pirya Yitzin Be'itzeh, the Gemara Ksubas. And then in Perek Afop, when it speaks about the sugya of Oina, and it says Oina's Talmidei Chachamim is me Erev Shabbos Lev Shabbos on Friday night. Asher Piryo Yitzin Beitzer. So Friday night is the Zman of Tashmish, and Ezra was Misakin that one specifically should eat Shum on Friday night because it's Marbez Azera. They say that nowadays we've lost the Masorah of exactly how to prepare the garlic, so it's no longer considered to be Takanas Ezra to do so. In other words, we keep Takanas Ezra of laying on Sheni V'chamishi. Why should we not keep this Takanas Ezra of eating Shum Mishabas? I think the Stipe says we've lost the Masera. Bela and Shum, so Shum is something which is maybe as Zera. Then there is Shechlayim, which is cress. Chalag Lugais, which Rashi tells us a word in French. I'm not so sure exactly what that's referring to. and Ubeitzim, the Hagargir, and Gargir, which we'll see more in a minute, what Gargir is. But these five things are things which are maybe as Hazera. Now, the Gemara Darshan's the Pasuk says, Vayetze Echad El Hasade Lelaket Eiris. So it says, he went out into the field to be malakit, these oiros. So Tanimish made the Rabbi Meir is their garagir. This is actually referring to the fifth thing which we mentioned, garagir. Am Rabbi Yehlamanik Rishma Shman oiros. Why is it referred to as oiros? Shemi iros es oinaim. It brightens the eyes. It brightens the eyes. So it's quite interesting. I mean, this is something which, on the one hand, it's marbes hazara. So at times, a person specifically should avoid it, like on Erev Yom Kippur. But it has beneficial qualities. It is meyer enayim. It's meyer esenayim. Amar Rav Huna. What does he do over here in Aleph? Hamoitzi, right? Hamoitzi garagir. If a person finds garagir, I think some add in the shuk, yeah. How many see garga of a shuk if a person finds garga in the shuk? So, im yachala achlai. If a person's able to eat it, then and there, eat it. The im lav, and if they're not able to eat it, and some say, why would they not be able to eat it? Perhaps because they can't eat in the shuk, because it's inappropriate to eat in the shuk, even though many Rishonim say that the isra achila b'shuk is referring to pas, a bread, or at least in the zainist and something. Gemara says in Kedushin, if a person says, "Oh, the shuk is de melekela v'yesh emer mis pasal le'edus." The rationale being that he is not makpid for his own busha. He doesn't care about his own embarrassment, so he cannot be trusted to be a reliable witness, because the shame and the embarrassment of being found out to be a false witness clearly doesn't bother him. If we see he doesn't care about his own embarrassment, and there is a discussion as to nowadays, and do we say if we're living in a more casual society and things become a little bit more common to do, so then that impacts on some of these dinim. In other words, if a person, if you see a person, having a nash at a bus stop or something, is a person possible edus, even if they're having a sandwich, is that considered to be possible edus, or to the extent that it's more common, maybe it's different. We said, if a person finds this gargir, at least pass it over your eyes, and there will still be some benefits, even if you ingest it and consume it, but the fact that you pass it over your eyes is also good. This is referring to the gargir which is found on the meitzar, on the border. What's special about that? Rashi says, top line, matrana, hagodol al hameitzar, the gargir which grows on the border, she'ein svivos of zera acher, she'yakchish koichay. So it's specifically the one which has plenty of room to grow in the wild, and there's nothing on either side which might detract from its pungency, its strength, and so on. Good. Amr v'gidol amr rav. So we mentioned that there are certain things which are marav zera. So now we say if someone is a guest in someone else's home, and they need to be mindful in order not to cause damage or to do something which is off-putting and embarrassing. So Amrav achsenoy lo yoichol beitzim. He should not eat beitzim. Rashi says shemevim ladei kerim mezgana al bnei habayis. So then, number one, he shouldn't eat beitzim based on what we've said. Number two, v'layishin b'talisay shol balabayis. He should not sleep on the talis of the balabayis. Rashi says shemiskas above yoyim. I mean, the balabayis is going to cover himself in that talis during the day. Shalayim tzalai keri. So he should not use that as his blanket at night when the balabayis is going to wrap himself up in it during the day. And it's interesting, that second din is paskin lahalach and reish mem, but the first one is not. This first one, if you're a guest at someone's house and you come for breakfast and then they offer you some scrambled eggs, according to what the Gemara is saying, you're not allowed to have beitzim. Say again? I mean, beforehand we said certain things are things which are boim l'di tumah. We didn't say. I mean, it just said. I mean, by in the previous Gemara by Zov, it just said you shouldn't have these things. Zov shouldn't have these things. It wasn't referring to any particular time of day. One of them was beitzim. I mean, it said beitzim, but they changed it to beitzim. I'm sorry. Right, I mean, unless you say it's two separate things. There's one thing of not having beitzim and the other thing of that. But yeah, it's interesting to know why one thing is brought ladino and one thing is not. Good. Says the Gemara, a fascinating thing. The Gemara says that Rav ki mikla ledashish machris man havya liyuma. Fascinating Gemara. The Gemara appears elsewhere in Shas and Yevamos. When Rav would go to Darshish, he made a proclamation, and he said, Man havya liyema. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Man havya liyema, yesh isha shetinasi li liyema, shes akiv kan, v'teitse la'achami kan. Is a woman is prepared to be married to me for the day that I am here in town, and v'teitse la'achami kan, and she will be divorced when I leave. That was what Rav used to do. Rav Nachman kad makla leshachnatziv Machrez Man Havya Liyoma. When Rav Nachman went to Shachnatziv, he did the same thing. So this seems to be a very strange Gemara. The Gemara is saying that these two Halagam Royim, and I think we mentioned before about, you know, the Milo of Rav, number one, Rav Tanahu Upalig. Rav was considered to be on a different level to other Amoraim, even ones who were his contemporaries. Even Rabbi Yechanan, even though the Gemara says Rav of Rabbi Yechanan, Halachic Rabbi Yechanan, nevertheless, only Rav Tanahu Upalig. And Rav had tremendous kedusha. The Gemara says Rav was Leisach Sichas Cholin Miyamov. And here the Gemara is saying that when Rav would go to this town, he would say, "Who would like to be my wife for the day?" Seems to be a very strange thing. Rav and Rav Nachman. So there is an important piece of the Ben Yoyada over here, and he explains the Hanhaga of Rav and Rav Nachman. And he says, "Chalila laharher achag gedolei chachmi Yisrael eila leimish shahayu lahutim kol kach lataivus chas v'shalom." Do we have a chavmin to say that these individuals were so entrenched in taiva that they would not be able to be without a woman for one day? He says, "Af hediyot shebehediyotim yuchalamid bekach v'kol shegain kadoshim uprushim elu." It's unfathomable to think that Rav and Rav Nachman were unable to do so. And he says, even if we're one to understand things on a very simplistic level, so why would they themselves not embarrassed? Like, why do they publicize it? You know, maybe they could go ahead and make some private arrangements. But madua lechashu lechvoid atzmam, it seems to be such a strange thing to go ahead and say, "Who would like to be my wife for the day?" Why is the Gemara recording this? A very strange, peculiar thing. So he explains. Another thing which he points out is that why do we find that only when Rav and Rav Nachman went to these places do they say this? And the Gemara is replete with many stories where it says that this Amira went to this place and this Tana went to this place and so on. We never find this anywhere. It's when Rav went to this place, when Rav Nachman went to that place, then and only then did they do it. So to answer all of this, says the Ben Yehuda the following. He says that Lefa'amim yimtza minog Rav v'kemesh shenim. There were certain communities, certain towns, where they had a bad custom. They would wait 30, 40, they would take their time. And that's what everyone did. He says, such was the custom in Darshish and Shachnatziv. And when Rav and Rav Nachman went to these places, they would say, "Rabbi, you have to get married by the time you're 20. But he says, "Kaven shahayu nechshalim bekach Rav," and many people didn't listen. So what do? They would go ahead and they would say, "You know what? Would anyone like to marry me for the day?" Even though there was a certain embarrassment and zilzal for their own kavod, but they were so interested in trying to encourage people to get married. B'chadei lahalhiv levavos ha'am be'inyan zeh. Instead of giving a musa shmuz and shaking their finger and saying how bad it is to delay, they would say, "Well, they don't like to get married, even for the day. Such a chashuva thing to be married," and so on. And that's why, specifically, they did it over there. They did not do this in other places. That is the way the Ben Yehuda explains the hanhaga of Rav and Rav Nachman. Frag the Gemara Kashra. Frag the Gemara like this. V'otanya. Rav Leizer ben Yaakov Omer, "Lo yisa adam isha b'medina zu, v'yelach v'yisa isha b'medina acheres. Shem yizdav guze eitzel ze, v'nimsa ach neisne achoysay. U'memala kolon k'vay mamzeres, v'al ze ne'emar, u'mala aritz zima. So what is the Gemara saying? That a person is not supposed to go ahead, get married in one Medina, and then go to another Medina, get married, and you're not actually living in either place, and you're having children in a very loose manner in different places. No one's quite clear who fathered who, and whom is miyuchas to whom, and so on. And then eventually, it could be that a brother might meet a sister, and they might marry each other, and they might end up producing mamzerus and so on. So how could he go ahead and do such a thing? Couldn't how could they do such a thing?
Sorry, couldn't you relate this parsha now also to what Rab Nachman did? Because if people were of that loose behavior, he was wanting to show perhaps that getting married is the way to do it, not doing it loosely. There seemed to be something connected.
Well, the Gemara is saying that, you know, the Gemara is saying that how could Rav and Nachman say who would like to marry me for the day, when that in and of itself can have dire consequences, insofar as Rav marries a woman for the day and produces a child and then goes back to his hometown and he doesn't even know really who he's fathered and they don't even know who's whom, then that can cause that eventually the children will meet up. Rashi says Zayt Zeh Ben. And so on. So how could Rav and Nachman do this? The Gemara says that Amri Rabbanan Kala Islahu. Everyone knows who these great tzaddikim are, and they will say this was the child of Rav, this was the child of Rav Nachman, and there will never be such a chashash. Asks the Gemara, the Amar Rava. Rav says that there is a din, there's a concept known as dam chimud. If a man proposes marriage to a woman, and she accepts the marriage proposal, the din is tzricha leishiv shivnekiyim. So there is a concern that that proposal and the chemda and the suin and vabia is going to trigger dam, it's going to be a catalyst for Re'ia's dam, and they need to wait Shivanikiyam. So by definition, it's going to be practically impossible to do this. Rashi says, Tzrichaleishiv Shivanikiyam, Miyim Shnisratzis, Shemamach Mischimud, Rasadam. Maybe because of the Chimud, maybe she saw dam. So that is the Gemara's Kasha. How can you do such a thing? So we say, I'm sorry? Well, the question is, do nisuin without kedushin? But here the din is, if you tzaveh her for nisuin, and she agrees to nisuin, you need to wait shivanikim. So how could he ever say, who would like to marry me and be my nisua and be married to me in the full sense, if that's going to be possibly bring about dam chimud? So we say, Rabbanan oiduye havi moidilahu maktim havi maktimi. So they would send messengers in advance. They would say, Rav is coming in a week from now, in 10 days from now. Rav Nachman is coming in a couple of weeks. Who would like to be Rav's wife for the day? Who would like to be Rav Nachman's wife for the day? And this way, if they would accept, and even if it was a chashash of Dam Chimud, they would have sufficient time to be mitzayeh themselves. That is one answer. Vibos Ema. Yehude have miachtilo. All they would do was yichud. Now, if you look at Rashi says yichudi ba'alma, the ein is kaken lehen. Ela shehanosu yisha ein misava, kamisha ein la yisha. So the pashtus of Rashi is, and that's what Tesis understands also, is that they would have nisuin, but they would never actually have tashmish with them. And this way, there is a pas besale aspect. A little bit difficult, the explanation of the Ben Yoyada. According to the Ben Yoyada, the whole reason why they did it, there was no taiva at all. And they were kadeshim and tahirim and so on. And the whole reason why they did it was to teach a lesson about the importance of getting married, but they themselves were not chas v'shalom lehutim, achar, taiva, and so on. So why does the Gemara even need to give? Like, or what does it help that you only did yichud and not nesuin? Seems to be the Gemara's understanding that the whole point is to have tashmish. And now we say, yeah, but there's a pas pesaloi, and therefore the taiva is not going to be misgaber. So Rashi says, so to the extent they would have nesuin and yichud, then there wouldn't be such a concern because they have a pas pesaloi. That's a ha'ara on the Ben Yoyada's pshat.
Are we talking about the one that they want to marry the young, the middle-aged people who want to be married, the debts, pas pesaloi? We're talking about Rav himself.
Well, we're talking about Rav and Rav Nachman. Rav had more than one. Rav was married already, but we're saying that the reason why Rav still went ahead to have another wife is, again, according to the Ben Yoyada, was to show them this, teach them the importance of marriage and so on. I'm just saying that according to the Ben Yoyada, there was nothing to do with the taiva. In other words, if you say a totally different pshat, and you say that they were coming to say, kol ha-gadol mi-chaveroi, yitzroi gadol hemena. And the bigger the tzaddik, the more you have to daige for your yitzahara and so on. And therefore they would say, and they weren't embarrassed, and they said, who would like to be my wife for the day? I'm out of town, and my wife isn't with me, and I'm scared. Then I can kind of hear what the Gemara is saying. They didn't actually have tashmish. They had marriage with Yichud. There's a certain pas pesaloi aspect, whatever that is, and that is enough to kind of suppress any potential taiva and yetzer and so on. But if you say like the Ben Yoyada, that they had no taiva whatsoever, and they only did this just to kind of... why is it a pas pesaloi? Why are we concerned that this is going to be sufficient enough to suppress the taiva if they never had a taiva at all and they were just doing it to teach a lesson? I'm just saying according to Ben Yoyada, in my mind.
Even according to the Shant, it says pas pesaloi, it won't be a problem because they're married already, so they've been satisfied with their own work.
No, but now they're away.
In fact, they can't have the tashmish.
Right, so where is there a pas pesaloi if they're not able to practically engage in intimacy? Just to mention, there's a famous Taz over here. this din is passed in the Hilchos Nidin Kuf Tzavi Beis. It says, just read out the Shulchan Aruch, Tavua li nasei v'nispaisa. Tzvicha leishev shivnekiyim, bein gedoy lebein katana. That means even a girl who has not yet, she's under the age of 12. We know that a girl can become a nida even from day one, but usually she's becheskas to be an eina roya until she sees three times. Here we're saying even if you're tavua, a 7-year-old girl, there's a din of tzricha leishev shivnekiyim. V'afilu bodka atzma b'shas tviya u'matzah tayrin. She checks herself and she's clean. Shema machmas chimud ra satipas dam techardel. The concern is maybe she saw a single drop the size of a mustard seed, and so on. Comes along the Taz, and he quotes a Rav Magid. Says the Magid Mishnah, and says that this is a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa, it is a din d'rabbanan. And the Chachamim were machme in this gzeira. Avada min ha-teira, she's muteris. Why? Because we know the din is one of the tanoim for a woman to be a nida d'oraisa is hargasha. Dafka, the pasuk says bivsara, ad shetargish bivsara. She has to have hargasha. So afilu rosa bolei hargasha min ateira, she's not tmeya. Says the Taz, kol shekin zu shlei matza afilu kesem. She didn't even find anything. So that is the quote of the Magid Mishnah. This is a din d'rabbanan. Says the Taz, oh, Baruch Hashem, based on the Magid Mishnah, I'm able to be miyashiv some shverkite in my head. Says the Taz, ubezeh nichali. We have a few cases in Tanakh where we see that there was no waiting at all. Ubezeh nichali hadi isa perkam of the Seta. Gabi Tomar says, vateshav pesach inayim. Shenasna inayim lidvareh she'amr liyuda toirani minida. She was there, and Yudah said, are you Tahira, are you Tmeh? And she said, I'm Tahira, and I am therefore accessible and so on. Why was there no concern of dam chimud? Another thing, which is in Yom of the Yema, coming up to Shavuos, says that has v'chein matzino berus shenichnasa lemitase shel bayaz achashatavla. She went to the mikvah, and then that night she went into Bayaz's bed. V'kasha asri chashivniki and achashnespaisa biyachad li alisa zezda. Once she accepts a marriage proposal, she needs to wait for 7 days. Says the Taz, based on what we said in the Magid Mishnah, it's a din derabbanan. This gezeira had not yet been enacted, and therefore, don't ask a question from any of the stories in Tanakh. That is that. Frek the Taz, a different question. Okay, I've still got another problem. Okay, it's the Rabbanim. So when exactly did Chazal make this gzeira? Heichan matzino shechidshu gzeira zu. Where do we say, where did they come with it? If we say it is the Maimer of Rava, and it's from the generation of Rava, Ibai the Rava, the Rava is the one who said, Tavoli nasei, we need to count some 7 days, and so on, and the Rava was the one who created shehimtzi chumra zu. So then it's Shver. Our Gemara in Yuma, same Gemara in Achilets, in Yevamos, where it says that Rav, who was before Rava, Rav was several generations before Rava, first generation Amorayim, says when Rav went to Dar Dashir, he said, Man boy le mahave itza le yema, and we ask from Rava, what do you ask Nakasha from Rava, if the whole Gezerah is only Nischadej b'mei Rava? Why are you asking Akasha on Rav? I'm a Rav to fully now say, my parich, on nischad shechom rezayis b'mei Rav. Says the Taz, the nearly, the ba'ayis ha'shah shegoz rechachamim alaksamim, that is when they made this gezerah also. So the gezerah ksamim, we know, as we mentioned, it says, when a woman sees dam, bifsara, ad shetargish bifsara, but Chazal said, we are going to make a gzeira of ksamim, midrabanan, even if it's a riyash leva hagasha. When they made the gzeira of ksamim, they also made the gzeira of dam chimut. That is what the Taz wants to suggest. He wants to give another suggestion, which answers up Tamar and Rus. And he says, lo yahaya chashash shematira machmas chimut demiyanch nispaisa yudu bayez oz hayu imahem bemito. They were kind of already there and ready, and so on. He says, "V'havi le kimi sheish le pas besale," whereas a regular case of a regular kala, where it's not like that. But if they were already there in bed and there's already a pas besale, he says, maybe in such a case there's no concern. The Pesach Tshuva quotes over here. He quotes that this Taz. And this last answer, which we said, he's not so keen with. And he gives various other answers to this question. Al-Kabonim, that was the din of Dam Chimud in Kuf Sadi Peis, and was saying that it's a din the Rabbanan, and therefore you can ask Kitasha from Rus and Bayez, and so on. Fine. Good. Says the Mishnah Vayta, Masru Zikne Bezdin L'Zikne Kahuna. So the Ziknei Bezdin handed over now the Kohen Gadol to the Ziknei Kohuna. The Helu LeBeis Haftinus. They took him up to the Beis Haftinus. We're going to see that the Gemara is going to tell us that there were two places where the Kohen Gadol would reside. One was the Lishkas Parhedrin, and one was the Beis Haftinus. Lishkas Parhedrin was where he would sleep, and the Beis Haftinus is where he would learn. So they took him to the lit to the Beis Haftinus, the Hishbiyu, beniftru v'halchulam, and they caused him to make an oath. What do they say? Ishi Kohen Gadol, our master, the Kohen Gadol. Ishi Kohen Gadol, anu shluchei bezdin, ve'ata shlucheinu v'shliach bezdin. We are the shluchim of bezdin, you are our shliach, and you are also being sent on behalf of the bezdin. Mashbiin anu alacha b'misha shikin shmei b'bayis hazeh. We hereby make an oath unto you by the one who rests in this bayis, Shalei tishane davar mikol masha amarnu lecha. Do not deviate from the instructions which we are telling you to do. Meaning the concern was maybe this Kohen Gadol was really a tzaddiki, and therefore he was going to deviate specifically in the way the keteris was brought in, and it's based on that that they were mashbir him. Who perish beicha, the hein parshin u beichin. The Kohen Gadol, off he would go and cry because they were cheshed him, and off they would go and cry, as the Gemara is going to say, because a cheshed b'ksheirim leike begufay. If a person suspects someone and the person is really innocent, and then the Gemara says one is punished, we learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe said the Bnei Yisrael won't believe me, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says they maminim b'nei maminim, and we see that Moshe Rabbeinu got tzaraf. Good. So now we say im haya chacham derish. If the Kohen Gadol was learned, he would dashen himself. Ve'im lav tamid chachamim dashen lavanav. Then they would bring tamid chacham to dashen in front of him. Im ragel likreis koyer. If he knows psukim, he would say psukim. Ve'im lav keren lavanav. They would read in front of him. Uba me keren lavanav. What do they read? Be'ioiv uba Ezra uba divrei hayomim. Zechariah ben Kavutal Omer Pa'amim Harbe Karisa Lefanav B'Daniel. Says Zechariah ben Kavutal, several times I read from Sefer Daniel. Rashi says, last Rashi, Shein Dvarim Mamshichim Esalev L'Sheiman V'Ein Shena Chaitfasa. So these are things which are captivating. We try to do whatever we can to keep them awake, and therefore we chose these particular things. Good. So we said that they would take him to the Beis Haftinus. So the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Lalam de Chafino. Meaning they would teach him how to do the Ktiris, and how to do the Kmitza, and exactly how it was done. The Gemara is going to say that this was a very difficult thing. This was an Avodah Kasha, and it required training and so on. Rashi says, "Antar lam bechafina, ma'irchanis lebeis haftinus shisham akteris matzui." That's what they would teach him over there. Okay, Amr Papa says, "Rav Papa, shtei lishkeis ayulay lekein gadol." There were two lishkeis for the Kohen Gadol, meaning two places where he would reside. Two places where the Kohen Gadol would reside. Here we go. Achas Lishkas Parhedrin and the Achas Lishkas Beis Avtinus. One was the Lishkas Parhedrin, which you mentioned, one was the Lishkas Beis Avtinus. Rashi says, Parhedrin is where he would sleep, and Avtinus is where he would learn. Achas Betzofen, the Achas Bedarm. One was on the northern side of the Azara, and one was on the southern side. Achas Betzofen Desnan. So we quote the Mishnah says in Midas. It says, Vov Lishkes Hayu Bazara. Right, I'm just bringing up this diagram for those who have it. It says, Vov Lishkes Hayu Bazara. Gimel Betzofen, the Gimel Bedar. There were three on the northern side, and there were three on the southern side. Gimel Betzofen, the Gimel Bedar. Shebedarim, Lishkes HaMelach, the salt chamber, Lishkes HaParvo, we'll see what that is. And Lishkas Hamadichim, the Lishka where they would wash. And rinse. Lishkas HaMelach, what was done there? Shisham Hayu Nesnim Melach LaKarban. That's where they would place Melach, which was necessary for the Karbanis. Lishkas HaParva, Shisham Hayu Melchin Eiris Kodshim. There they would salt the hides of the Kodshim and remove all the bits in order to turn it into Eiris. The Al Gago Hoysa Beis Tfila. And directly above the Lishkas HaParva, as per the diagram, there was a mikvah. Al Gago Hoysa Beis Tfila. The Kohen Gadol will be a Mikipurim. And finally, Lishkas HaMedichin. And there was this Lishkas HaMedichin. Sham Hayim Medichin Kirve Kodshim. So that's where they would rinse the innards of the Kodshim. Umisham Mesiba Oila Lagage Beis HaParva. And as you can see from here, Lishkas Madichin over here On the side, there was this spiral staircase which went up to the rooftop. And on the rooftop, in the middle, directly on top of the Lishkas HaParva, that's where the mikvah was. So again, Misham Misiba Oila Legad Beis HaParva. Those were the three which were on the southern side of the Azara. Now we move on to the next one. We have the next diagram over here. Gimel Shivat Safin. Three were in the northern side. We have the Lishkas HaEitz, the Lishkas HaGoyla, and the Lishkas HaGazis. So, what is this Lishkas HaEitz? Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Shechachti Me Haisa Meshameshes. I've forgotten what the Lishkas HaEitz was used for. Abba Shalai Me Lishkas Kein Gadol Haisa. He says that actually was the Lishkas Kein Gadol. Like if you see in this diagram, we have the Lishkas HaEitz over here, which he writes, this is the Lishkas Parhedrin. And this was the one of the chambers where the Kohen Gadol would reside. So, and like we saw before, previously there were Rebbe Ben Yaakov, who was the Stam Mishnah, the Stam Tana in Maseches Midos, where he said before, I forgot what it was for, and Abba Shaul reminded him. So Abba Shaul, Emer Lishkas Kohen Gadol Oysa. Now we say, Achirei Shtehen. If you look at Rashi over here, about six lines down, Achirei Shtehen, some add in a couple of words over here. Abba Shaul Emer, Oysa Lishkas HaEitz, He Oysa Lishkas Kohen Gadol, and it was Achirei Shtehen, La Lishkas HaGoyla, or La Lishkas HaGazis. It was behind the Lishkas HaGoyla and the Lishkas HaGazis. So again, if you're looking at this diagram, it was kind of behind. Here's the Lishkas HaGoyla, and you've got the Lishkas HaGazis, and at the very back, in the corner, is the Lishkas Parhedrin. So it was behind both of them. Achirei Shtehen, Begad Shloshtan Shava. But the rooftop of all three of them was flat. So here, you know, here they all end, they all are the same height. So Gag Shloshtan Shava. So we say Lishkas HaGoyla. What's the Lishkas HaGoyla? Shamhaya Bar HaGoyla. Bhagal Gamasan Alav. So Rashi says, Lishkas HaGoyla, Rashi says, Al Shem Bar, Shekaru Sham Oile Goyla. There was a pit which the Oile Goyla dug there. And so there was a pit there. And there was a wheel, Nasan Alav, Misham Maspikim Mayim Lechalo Azara. And from there, they would pump out Mayim throughout the Azara. Lishkas HaGazis, Sham Hoyas and Hedrin, Shal Yisrael Yeshevis, Vedana Es HaKahanim. And then the Lishkas HaGazis was the place where the Sanhedrin would sit, and they were done on the Kahanim also. Mishanim Sabay Psul, Hayalei Vishachar Mizat Vishachim, someone who they would find a Psul would wear black, Vyatsa Vahalachle, and off he would go. Mishalinim Sabay Psul, and he would go, and he would. They decided he wasn't possible, and off they would go, and he would go and do avodah with the rest of the kahanim. Now we said, Achaz Bedarim, one of the lishkas where he would reside was in the south, was in the southern side. Okay, there's none. So now we quote the Mishnah. It's both in Tamid and in Midas. It says like this, Shiva Sha'arim Hayu Ba'azara. And in essence, what we're going to do over here is we're gonna kind of explain where the Kohen Gadol woke up in the morning, and where he would go, and where he would come back to, and we're just going to prove that it's more logical. We're going to try and prove and say it's more logical based on kind of his Seder Hayoim, where these two Lishkas, remember we started off at the top of the Amud by saying there were two Lishkas of the Kohen Gadol. There was Lishkas Parhedrin and there was the Lishkas Beis Haftinas. One of them was on the northern side and one was in the southern side, and we're going to try and prove exactly what was where. So again, we said that Achaz B'Darim Tisnan Shiva Sharim Hayu Ba'azara, there were seven gates in the Azara, Gimel B'Tzafan V'Gimel B'Darim, Echad B'Mizrach, three in the north, three in the south, and one in the east. We say Shabadarim was the Shahat Leiko, the Shahat Delik. where they would bring in the firewood, which was necessary to fuel the maracha. Sheni loy, next to that, sheni loy was shar hakarban. That's where they would bring the carbon through. They would bring the carbon through the shar hakarban. Okay. And shlishi loy was the shar hamayim. What was the shar hamayim? So Rashi says, very interesting, shar hamayim was shaboyim machnis and sleiches shalmayim shal nisach b'chag. Now this is where they would bring the flask of the mayim which was used on Sukkos. Fine, that was all in the Darim. Now we say, what about in the Mizrach? Shiva Mizrach was Shar Nikanor. Shar Nikanor, Ushtei Lishkis Hayusham, there were two additional chambers on either side, Achas Bimine, Achas Vesmile, one on the right, one on the left. Achas Lishkas Pinchas Hamalbish, one was the Lishka of Pinchas Hamalbish, and Achas Lishkas Eisei Chavitin, one was the Lishka of the Eisei Chavitin. As you can see in this diagram over here, is the Shar Nikanor, and there were these two Lishkas on either side. Okay, and then we said there's three in the northern side, Shivat Zalfin, you have the Shar Nitzitz. The Shar Nitzitz, so the Bach says, Ukemin Achsadra Haya, and it was like a Achsadra, as you can see over here, like it's open, it's just pillars, but it was open. Ukemin Achsadra Haya, or maybe there's that a better, here's a better diagram. Shar Nitzitz, like it's open over here, like an Achsadra. Ukemin Achsadra Haya. V'aliyah benuya loy al gabov, and there was an aliyah. There was an attic or a loft above the shar nitzitz. V'aliyah benuya loy al gabov. Misham kehanim shemrim milamala v'levim milamata. And there would be one kohen on top, and there would be one levi down below, standing guard. And as we saw in Maseches Tamid, that the inyan of the shmira was not for gneiva. It was just a covered for the bias to have Shemron there. So there would be one Kohen up above, and there would be one Levi down below. Vishlefnim emenu chel, and kind of walking outward this way would be the chel. there we go. Just seeing if there's another. Yep. That was the chel. Sheni lay shar karban, shlishi lay shar beis hamikid. The second one was the Shar Karban. The third one was the Shar Beis HaMikdash. Now, V'tanya. Now, fine. So we've mentioned where the seven Sha'arim were in the Azara. Now, V'tanya. Chamish Tfilis. V'asara Kiddushin Tevokin Gadol Mekadosh Beviyim. On Yom Kippur, he would immerse himself in the mikveh 10 times, and he would wash his hands and his feet 5 times. V'chulan B'kodesh. All of them would be done in the Kodesh section. Algag Beis Aparva. Again, looking at the diagram over here. So we're saying the Beis Aparva and the Mikvah was up top. Kulan B'Kodesh Algag Beis Aparva. Chutz Mizu Shehoise B'Chol Algag Algabi Shar Hamayim. With the exception of this one, which was over here, on top of the Shar Hamayim, and this is considered to be the Chol. Now, and Ubitzad Lishkasei Haisa, and it was next to the place where the Kohen would reside. Ubitzad Lishkasei Haisa. Okay, now we mentioned at the top of the page that he had two Lishkas. One was the Pahedrin, and one was the Beis Aftinus. So, was this the Beis Aftinus, or was this the Pahedrin? And that's the Gemara says. V'tzad lishchasei haisa. V'lo yodana ilishkas prahedrin b'tzafen. V'lishkas beis aftinas b'darim. Ilishkas beis aftinas b'tzafen. V'lishkas prahedrin b'darim. But I'm not sure which one was where. And that the Gemara says. U'mistabra delishkas prahedrin b'darim havoi. The assumption is, it was more logical, that the lishkas prahedrin was in the south. Why? My daima. Maktim koi umesach. Let's think through the Seder Hayom. He'd wake up in the morning and he would have a bowel movement. He would go to be excused. Maktim koi umesach esraglov. When a person has a bowel movement, v'tovel, that requires tefillah in the mikvah. V'tovel. Then what would happen? V'ozul l'tzofen. Then he would go to the north. He would go to the north. V'ozul l'tzofen. The Gamra Chavina, meaning we're thinking it's mistaber to say that the Parhedrin where he slept was in the south. He would go to the mikvah. Then he would go to the northern side where he would go to the Lishkas Beis Haftinas and he would learn the Seder of the Keteris and so on. Vazul Tzafan, the Gamra Chavina. And then Vazul Beis Hamikdash, he'd go to the Beis Hamikdash, the Avod Avodah. And he would do Aveda during the 7 days. In the late afternoon, what would happen? Madu alea, they would be maza upon him, like we saw before, that they were maza on him during the 7 days in the event that he became Tomei. They were maza upon him. The Hodr Azal Ladarim. Then he would go back to the Darim, the Tovil, and he would go to the Mikvah post-Hazah, Vinayach, and he would rest. So just before we see the Raya, let's just see a couple of Rashis. Let's see the Rashi starting from Labahadi Panya, about 8 lines, 4 lines that come wide. Labahadi Panya, Madwale, Kidamrina, and Beresh Pirkin. Like we said at the beginning, that they were mazah upon the Kohen Gadol the whole 7 day period. We had a day which was on day 3 and on day 7. We had a day that it was every single day. And then, post the Hazar, after the Hazar, what would happen? The Ozul Darim, the Tovel. He would then go back down south and he would go to the mikvah. Al Shahamayim. Why did he go to the mikvah after they were mazah upon him? Kirabi Akiva. Like Rabbi Akiva, the Amar, Tor, Shinafa, Lav, Hazar, Timase. Remember, the sheet of Rabbi Akiva was, he said, that is the paradox of the Paraduma, that if someone is Tomei and they get sprinkled on, they become Tahar. If someone is Tahar and they get sprinkled on, they become Tomei. So in the event that really he was Tahar, and this whole Hazar was unnecessary, we just have to do it to cover our bases. So then you need to be Tevol, and so on. And then finally says Rashi, V'nayich, Hoylech, V'sheichiv, V'lishkas, Parhedrin, Asher, Eitzol, Beis HaTfilah. So you're kind of doing things in a logical way. He's based in the south. That's where the Lishkas Parhedrin is. He goes to the mikveh first thing in the morning after he goes to be excused. He goes to the north, to the Beis Haftinas. There he learns about the Keteris. He goes into the Azara, and he does Avodah during the day, then he goes to receive the Hazar, then he goes back down to the south by the Parhedrin, and he goes to the mikveh once again, and then he goes to sleep. So now the Gemara speaks it out and says like this. The Gemara says, the E Amras Lishkas Parhedrin Betzalfoin, but if you want to tell me the Lishkas Parhedrin is in the north, so Maktim Koy Amesach Raglov, so he's going to have to first go all the way down south to the mikvah, which was in the southern side, which was Bechol, before he's done any Avodah. So he's going to go from north all the way down to the south, the Tavil, and then he's going to have to come all the way back up, the Gamra Chafina. He's going to have to come back up to the north. And then, Vasla Beis HaMikdash, V'Avda Avodah Kula Yema, V'Hadipanya, Madu Alei, they'll sprinkle on him, V'Avda Azal Adarim, and then go back down to the south, the Tavol for another tefillah, Oboy Lemeher, the Mezel Atzafon, and then go back up again, back up north, Omeinach, Omi Tarich Matrichinim Lei, Kuli Hai, are we going to go and be Matriach him so much? It doesn't make sense. Elamai Zakti Gomorrah, it must be that the Lishkas Parhedrin was on the southern side, because if it was in the northern side, and then the Kohen Gadol is going to be going back and forth, and it doesn't make sense that we would be matriach him. Says the Gemara, it's not true. Fakert, there's a svar to say just the opposite. Alam aloi matrichinin leitvei. Fakert, we want to be matriach him even more. The steak you lifresh. If in fact the fellow is really a tzedaki, we want to make it difficult for him. This way he'll say, you know what, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. And he's going to be Purish. Or even if he's not a tzedaki, but we don't want him to become a Baal Gaiva. I love to say, you know, Binich the Kohen Gadol, I'm the most chash of a person. We don't want him to become a das ruach. And if you don't say this, why bechlau did you make two lishkas on two different sides? One in the north, one in the south. For what point? Elamai must be because we want to be matriachim. It must be because we want to see if he really is a secret stakey and so on. Why bechlau have two lishkas? Just have one bigger lishka, which is large enough to house a bed and a living room and a place where he can learn. Why do you need to have two separate lishkas? LMI, the Gemara is concluding that there is merit in having two separate lishkas, one in the north, one in the south, and we definitely want to make it a little bit difficult for him in order to see if he's actually a genuine, legitimate Kohen Gadol and he's not a secret stakey. Okay. We will pick it up tomorrow, Mr. Shem.